The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nest in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
The parables that are before us this morning are all pretty well known to us. Parable of the net, the mustard seed, the leaven, the treasure, the pearl. But what is less known to us is that these parables are absolutely not what we think them to be. Mustard bushes, mustard shrubs, were not something any observant Jew would plant in their garden. It is forbidden to plant such a thing in an orderly garden, precisely because it would cause chaos. It would be like planting kudzu in your garden if you were in the South, or knapweed here in the Northwest. What do you think you're doing planting such a thing in a garden? Or leaven. In the ancient world, in all of the scriptures, leaven is always a negative thing. When God delivered the Israelites out of Egypt, he told them to make unleavened cakes. And then for 7 days, they ate unleavened cakes. Thereafter, leaven meant not holy. Unleavened meant holy. Leaven is a corrupting entity. So if you hide leaven in 3 measures of flour, you get 3 measures of corrupted, ruined flour. So what in the world is Jesus talking about when he says the kingdom of God is like knapweed that someone planted in their garden? The kingdom of God is like something you would put into your food and ruin the whole lot of it. Or maybe it's like we would say in this land of orchards, one bad apple. You know what that does. So how in the world is the kingdom of God like the bad apples, like the leaven, like the mustard seed? I got to thinking about all of the mustard seeds I have known, all of the bad apples. And I ended up thinking about my early days here, and long before there was Occupy Wall Street or the demonstrations for racial justice in the streets, there were the food bank sitters right here in Chelan. Some of you might remember them. When the food bank was right there on Wooden Avenue, right downtown at the Episcopal Church Auxiliary Building, the food bank opened on Tuesdays at 1:30. At 8 o'clock in the morning, the food bank sitters would begin to congregate in their folding chairs right on the sidewalk in the heart of downtown. These were old-time Chelan folk, long-time marginalized, mostly poor old people. No town would have them on a Chamber of Commerce poster, I'll tell you that. But every week for years, they held court all morning, waiting for their turn in line at the food bank. Didn't bother some business owners, but they didn't sit well with some of the people in the downtown business district. I fielded many a complaint about them. Tried my best to make the peace. I tell people now that I do not envy political decision makers in these times, especially mayors. And the reason is that the food bank sitters were hard enough to mediate. I don't think I want to deal with anything more complicated. Part of the reality of the food bank sitters was that they really were not very good welcome wagon people for people who were coming into Chelan. They weren't well kept, they were not the proper social class, and they weren't interested in going out of their way to be nice. Not to tourists, not to business owners, not to the director of the food bank for that matter. And the problem got more complicated and more pronounced as the number of chairs of people increased out there on Tuesday morning, at the very same time that tourism was really on the upswing in Chelan. It seemed like a perfect storm. The gang leader of that group of food bank sitters was Mary. She was loud, and she was willing to say anything that came to her head at full volume. She'd talk like this: "Hey, how are you today? What are you doing?" Except she would never really say, "How you doing?" Especially not to me. Every time I arrived at the food bank, she would say, "Father Paul, you're late. You gotta stop being late." And I'd say, "Well, Mary, I had to stop and talk to somebody." "Don't stop out to gab with anybody. You gotta get here and open up." Finally, I said, "Mary, all right, I'm not gonna gab with anybody else, especially you." And then she would laugh, and off we'd go. But woe to anyone who walked up on a Tuesday morning and gave them some kind of ugly look. She would say, "What are you looking at?" And the person would be shy and would be sheepish and would walk away. Anyway, there they would sit for hours. And it was uncomfortable. But there they were. Except one day, I'm walking down to the food bank, and Mary didn't yell at me, "Hey, Father Paul, you're late." She quietly walked up to me, and she said, "Father Paul, I want you to come visit my house. My husband is dying. He's got a bad liver. He's got emphysema. Doesn't have long to live. I want you to come." And I said, "Well, of course." And she said, No. Think about it. We haven't been in church in 25 years. And I said, "No, I'll come." "Well, understand, Father Paul. I mean, my husband, he drinks a lot. And, well, we both drink a lot. You know that." And I said, "Yeah, I know. I'll come." Said, "Okay, all right. Do you want me to come this afternoon after the food bank?" "No, come tomorrow." So on went the next day. I got to the house. And entered into this dingy, dirty place, smelling of alcohol and urine. Mary shows me to her husband's room, and then she disappears into the kitchen. And I go and visit her husband, and like Mary, he needs to give full disclosure. "You know, Father Paul, I haven't been in church in 25 years. And I said, I understand, no problem. And then we begin to visit, and he begins to tell me some things, and I receive his confession, and I pronounce forgiveness to him. I say the Lord's Prayer, the 23rd Psalm, and I read Romans 8, the very same passage that Linda so beautifully read this morning. These things that when you're dying, these are the things you need to hear. And then Mary came in, and as I was finishing up the visit, I blessed him, marked him with the sign of the cross, and committed him into the hands of God. And then I got up, and I was getting ready to leave. And Mary says, no, come in here. So then I go into this little tiny kitchen, and there's a 4x4, like a card table, sitting there as the dining room table. He says, "Sit down here, I want you to eat." And I said, "Mary, you don't have to feed me." And I know she's at the food bank every week. She doesn't need to be feeding extra people. He says, no, I'm feeding you. So she started cooking, and she's cooking, and she's setting the table. And then she started looking at her shelves, into her shelves, and she says to herself, I know they're here somewhere. I know they're here somewhere. And then she says, ah, there they are. The only two that are left. And she pulls out two beautiful china dishes. The last two that have survived her life. And she set out one in front of me and one for herself. And then she goes and she continues to set the table, the fork, the knife, the spoon, and sets it just so. And then everything's all ready. She's cooked up some kind of potato-y dish, and there's some kind of meat in the oven. She pulls it all out. She serves me with it. And as she's serving, she says, Pastor, would you please say a blessing? And I said, yes, I'll say a blessing. So I look into heaven, which look exactly like Mary's eyes, clouded with cataracts and tears. And I say a blessing for the food and for her and her husband's life together. And we eat. And then I get up, I thank her, and I leave. And then I am struck with yet another parable. The kingdom of God is like a poor, alcoholic woman who with her friends occupy the streets, irritates the people, and then serves them with her best china. Amen.